Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that flaunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit, we've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals, while the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhymes. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. While we don't have time for fooling around, let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one? Or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Welcome to Care to Read. And thank you for joining your co-host, Omiika 7, introducing you to a new series under Care to Read, starting off with our Family Consumer Science, Family Life Education. We're bringing you a new series entitled The Spiritual Lifeline Connection. And our first segment on that series will be Spiritual and Soul, dealing with the spirit avenue of our bodies. And then we will transition from the spirit and soul into dealing with our area of dreams and understanding dreams today. We do have a guest that will be joining us in a few seconds. We will be bringing her on upon introducing her. I'd like for you to stay with us the whole segment of the one-hour show. I'd like to also ask you to lend me your airways, and I will borrow your airways. In approximately 1 hour, I will give your world back to you. You do have your co-host, Omiika 7, on the show today, and I want to also tell the teachers out there that this organization, Project 2019, is being sponsored by the RIF program, and this RIF series that we are featuring under education is for teachers, child development providers, as well as for those homeschoolers. We have completed a six-segment series on Care to Read, and we're not going to stop there. We will periodically be featuring books and talking about our new website called JumpStart, where teachers can go and access the materials that we have featured on this show. And the reason for giving you a well-rounded show on spirit, soul, mind, and body is to give the family segment a chance to focus in on having abundance and richness and understanding how your flight for understanding health is just as important for your wealth. And once again, thank you for joining us, and I would like to pause for 1 second here and bring our guest on. Give me a second here, and we'll be bringing her right on. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Teresa and have her come on and tell you more. Teresa, I met her at one of the library sessions here in our hometown in Miraville, Indiana. She was presenting there, and with an overwhelming success of a crowd who was involved in one of her lectures, I was in that crowd and was very interested in her work that she did while talking about dreams and interpretation of dreams. We all know that dreams are us carrying out our awakening day into the night segment, and it's important that we should understand meditation and understanding why we dream and the necessary reason for going into the beta state of sleep so that we can begin to work with that subconscious mind, whereas only 20% of our conscious mind are waking days that we have access to, but our 80% subconscious mind is subconscious water fluid that we need to learn to tap into so we can begin to start to work out those things in our lives that we're not able to accomplish in the natural awakening hour. And if you are a dreamer and you are out there and you have plenty of dreams that you would like to talk about, I'm going to tell you to hold those dreams right now. This segment, however, is being presented to talk about spirituality, how it relates to clairvoyant thinking, intuitiveness, and being able to have synchronicity and understanding that all things work together for good for them that love the Creator. Now, I'd like to bring Teresa on, and as I said, Teresa, being a very, very broad-minded young lady with clairvoyant backgrounds and skills, I am not going to try to give all the details on her background other than she's a dream therapist and technician. I will have her talk a little bit about herself, and at that point we will let her go into her rendition of her profession as a dream technician. And then I will ask the audience to call in. Okay, Teresa?
I'm here.
Teresa, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Oh, great. Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. How are you?
Just great. I'm glad you were able to join me. And the listening audience out there, Teresa, can you give me your last name again?
My last name is Fabbri, and that is spelled F as in Frank, A-B-B as in boy, R-I.
And Teresa, can you tell the listening audience what your professional background is as a dream working technician and give them a little history about where you acquired your skills and talents from and if there was any professional training and how long you've been working with dream working?
Okay, well, let's see. I've been working in the area of dreams since the mid-80s, so that would be about, 25, 26 years, something like that. And as far as my background experiences, I was a teacher for 20-some years, and then I got a degree in counseling and got involved in being a psychotherapist, working with people. And when I was on a retreat, a seven-day silent retreat up in Illinois at a retreat center, I picked up a small book called Dreams, A Way to Listen to God by Morton Kelsey, and took it up to my room with me and read through the book that evening and was fascinated at the very thought that God could speak to us mortals through our dreams. So?
And on that note, I am going to ask Teresa to pause for station identification, and we will be right back at you in the air with our guests, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some common thief. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this tour. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
And we're back. Once again, thank you for lending your airways, and we have our guests on the show. And Teresa, we're going to bring you back on for you to continue where you left off with giving the introduction of your past work history. Teresa, are you out there in the air?
Yes, I sure am. I'm still here.
Okay.
Well, as I said, I read through this book and I found a booklet, actually, is 100 and some pages, but I found it fascinating. And before I went to sleep that night, I thought, well, I'm going to see if this really works. So I said my type of prayer to God, if you have something to say to me, please, I would like to see it come through a dream. And sure enough, I woke up that next morning, and there was a dream. So I wrote it down as I remembered it. And I happened to be working with a woman who was a spiritual director at this center. And when I went in to see her that day, I shared with her the book I read. She was familiar with it. And I told her about the dream. And she was very accepting of the possibilities contained in dreaming. So we worked and talked through it together. And for the next 5 nights, I had a series of dreams and one nightmare. And it was just a total overwhelming positive experience for me, profoundly affected me. So,
and Teresa, I'd like to ask you a question. Now,
sure.
You said that there was a series of dreams and
right.
one nightmare.
That right.
nightmare, was there any indication as to what that nightmare gave reference to and why not a dream?
Well, yes. First of all, I called it a nightmare because it had scary content. And there was a good deal of fear in me around the dream. And people have named those kind of dreams nightmares. So I call it that. And actually, nightmares are not negative nor bad, nor do they need to be feared, because there is within them a very positive message beneficial to our growth and development. And
I'm glad to hear that. That relieves the listening audience in knowing that it's okay to have some scary dreams. Teresa, I would like to know, do you think that there might have been any guided direction of the Most High for selecting you because of some attributes you might have had to give you this gift of being able to see into the lives of others and to interpret what is going on in their subconscious mind?
Well, you know, actually, any of us that are inspired to do whatever it is that we're inspired to do, part of that is a mystery. And I think a lot of times someone will say, why me? And, you know, maybe what we ought to be saying is, why not me? Why not me? And so looking back now on the past 20 plus years, yeah, I do think that I had certain abilities and skills and training that lent itself to doing dream work. For example, I find it easy to speak. I've never had a problem with that. When I was a child, it got me in trouble in school, but the flip side of that is that it is a gift. So I'm comfortable speaking with small groups, large groups.
I was just going to insert, you had used the term, it is a mystery. What can you tell the listening audience about the mystery system of dreams, and where does this fall on our timeline and ancient days and possibly in the biblical days when there were a large percentage of our priests and priestesses receiving people who needed dreams interpreted? And where does this fall on a timeline approximately when dreams became very, very popular in our ancient history? And who was the person that was the dream catcher who was capable of interpreting dreams during that time?
Well, you know, historically speaking, dreams have been with us since the beginning of recorded time. And that's why, for example, in the Christian scriptures, what we call the Bible, we find a lot of references to dreams. Joseph of the many colored coats, the Egyptian who went to Egypt, he was a favorite of the Pharaoh. He became a favorite of the Pharaoh by his ability to interpret dreams. So dreams are not uncommon. Some people view them with skepticism, and I suppose that's all right. Everyone has their preferences. But they've been with us, well, they've been with us forever is what I want to say. And my belief is that dreams are a way that spirit, the universe, higher consciousness, God, whatever we're comfortable using, whatever term, it's a way for spirit to communicate with us. In other words, my belief is that within us we have this great resource with a capital R that can fund us with information that comes from our own personal unconscious, which you earlier mentioned that we are probably 80%, if not more, unconscious. So the unconscious speaks to us through the dream. And I also believe that besides our own personal unconscious, the collective unconscious, as Jung called it, God's world, God's spirit, also speaks to us through dreams. So that transcends or goes beyond our own personal human ability.
Certainly concur with what you're saying, Teresa. I certainly concur with that. The reason why I'm saying this is because there is something very unique about people who are able to be the keeper of dreams, if you would, because I think a bit of a synchronicity has to go into it. And also there's a prerequisite, I think, that you must have, and I think that prerequisite is you have to be able to have the ability to be clairvoyant. And let me break that down to the listeners, and that is to be able to see into the lives of others. That would make it a little bit easier for you to interpret that dream if you knew something about that person. And when you see into their lives, you can help them manage what it is that they probably was already doing to help them draw some conclusion to this dream. And the reason why I say that is because when I dream, the majority of my dreams that are relatives or people that are close to me, I tend to already have a bit of information about, so it can help me draw some conclusion and pretty much be right on target as to what I'm talking about or what I'm trying to interpret to them. But if I had no background knowledge of who they were, it would be very difficult for me to even make sense of that dream. And I found that most people who are clairvoyant or have the gift to be able to have a gift of prophecy or word of knowledge, they tend to help people to guide their lives when they're talking about dreaming and daydreaming, because you don't have to be asleep to dream. In some African cultures, there is a real big push for you to be in the subconscious mind and their faith. They work very hard towards elevating the body so it becomes slain in the spirit, so to speak, so they can go to sleep in the middle of the day as they dance and begin to start to get their bodies into a drunken state where they're almost in a slumber, but yet they're still conscious, but they're in a subconscious mind. And at that time, they're given directions, and this is not why they're sleeping, laying down. They are given information from the Most High. They're given information to carry back, and otherwise they become a channel, and they start channeling and giving this information. Now, I said African-American faith because this dance that you do in the church called the Holiness Dance is to get you to go into a slumber. It's to get you to go into another state, into a subconscious state, so that you can hear from the Most High. And, Teresa, can you expound upon that any at all?
Well, see, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I'm in agreement with what you're saying because I believe that we are constantly learning, if we're open and receptive, ways to become more reflective, more meditative, more open to our own inner self. In other words, to momentarily disengage from the outer world, from all the physicalness of it, the things that we hear, that we see, that we feel, that we touch and we taste, and learn how to go inward, connect with our soul, connect with our unconscious, connect with the God within. And so anytime we can learn ways to do that, I just applaud that and think, hey, be open to that. There is something there of a gift for all of us.
Now, is there any difference, Teresa, between the right side of the hemisphere brain and the left side? I have been told that the right side is where our more creative stage is, and the left side is pretty domineering, and it's where our logical side is. But if we go into meditation, we tap into our right side of the brain where we can begin to work with the holistic creative side, and that's where we can work things out in the spirit realm, where we can correct things that we can't do or accomplish things that we're trying to attempt. So when we come out of that subconscious mind, we have now worked that thing out in the subconscious mind, and it now appears in the natural that we are capable of doing that.
Okay, absolutely, I agree with you. There is a distinct difference between the right brain and the left brain, and that's a physical scientific reality. The left brain is concerned with reasoning. It's linear. It's sequential. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 and 2 are 4. A, B, C, D. Okay? The right brain is intuitive. It is our feeling nature, our emotional nature. It is our direct contact with spirit. It's the seat of creativity. It's the seat of inspiration. One is not better than the other. They're different, and they have.
And that's great, Teresa. When you say one is not better than the other, can you define that for the listening audience, that spirit is spirit, and that there's no bad, most people would say, oh, that's a bad spirit. I don't want to deal with that.
No.
In dealing with spirit, you have to satisfy the bad spirit as well as the good spirit. Can you articulate a little bit on the difference between good and bad spirit?
Well, okay, now this will be my personal belief, which I don't intend to inflict on anyone, because I believe each one has to find their own way and develop their own belief system. But I really, when it comes, like, especially to the work with dreams, I really don't believe that bad spirits enter into the realm of dreams. That's where I believe there's only one power, and that's the power of God. Period.
Absolutely. And I concur with that.
So I don't have fear when I deal with my own dreams or when I'm engaging with someone else in the realm of dreams. I believe that we're protected by who it is that we are, spiritual beings having a human experience.
Having a human experience, Teresa, I totally agree with you. And the other thing that used to come to my mind, Teresa, when people used to continuously give homage to this being called the devil, I did further studies and I began to realize that I just didn't believe the Creator would empower something that would be at odds with himself, that would be greater than spirit. And I often thought that this so-called enmity spirit that they spoke of as a devil was actually in the flesh, and the spirit had enmity with the flesh. So you were fighting against your own self, such as the id and the ego, but there was no outside force, but that force was within you, and you had to conquer it and move up the ladder of the Kabbalah from a physical humanistic being to a spiritual level. And you'd always be fighting with that flesh until you were over to subdue that flesh and become all spirit.
Okay, I agree with that, because see what I believe, in my words, how I would say what you said, is that what I believe in, I empower. What I believe in, I give power to. So if I believe that there is a so-called devil that is an outer being, my belief empowers that. It gives it power.
Absolutely.
It has no power. So actually it's in my mind.
It's in your mind. Absolutely.
My mind.
I agree with that, and I like how you put that, because it is devoid of power until you infuse the power and you give rise to that being coming to life, because you've actually empowered it, your very self.
That's right. Exactly. So bottom line here, what is there to fear? There is
absolutely
no thing to fear, because it's an illusion. It's a mirage. It has no more reality and existence than the water that we see in the distance when we're struggling through the desert. And then when we get
up to it, there is
no water.
I want to know one thing very important. What I want the audience to gather from this whole discussion in our whole series that we were going to be featuring is that we all have these capabilities to be clairvoyant, to be intuitive, and to have synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
We have to exercise them. They are laying dormant. We are all a channel for the Most High.
Exactly.
And we are all extensions of the Most High. And
exactly,
he wants to know us, to know experience through us. He is not concerned with the day-to-day cares of this earth, other than the fact that you, who he put his spirit in, he has a vested interest, because he learns experience through you. And each individual that has an experience on this earth, we are a spiritual being having this earthly experience so that God can know what it's like to experience earth. So he does need us. We're collaboratively working on one accord with him, wouldn't you say, Teresa?
Exactly, exactly. We are, each and every one of us, without exception, expressions of the divine. And all we have to do is open up.
We have
up.
A guest. I'm going to, okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Teresa.
No, and I was saying, we are each and every one of us, without exceptions, expressions of the divine. I'm called
absolutely
to believe that. You're called to believe that. So it's my belief that either opens me up to be a channel, or my lack of belief in that closes me off so that I am not a channel or an instrument of a higher power.
And I'm going to let that that guest who's calling tap in here. Hold on 1 minute.
Sure.
All right, listener, you're in the air. How are you today?
All right, I'm great. How are you?
Just
can
fine.
You hear me?
Yes, I can. What is your question for this evening? Thank you for tuning in.
Well, my I guess I have a comment more so than a question. And my comment is that many civilizations have taken over a land and demonized someone's god and then exalted their own god. So when it comes to the concept of Satan or the devil and the Samael, or you know, and all these different names that the devil may be going by, I just would ask you guys to remember that even in the Garden of Eden, when they said that there are some ancient philosophies believe that the devil that was in the Garden of Eden was actually likened to a god, for he brought knowledge and wisdom to those who were lost in darkness, which was Adam and Eve at that time. And, you know, you got many different translations of the story, but I was wondering, how do you feel about that in particular?
I certainly concur with you on the fact that religion has played a major role in demonizing other religions. The reason why I know that is so true is that we all drink from one spirit. There is only one spirit, but many paths to get to the Creator. And whatever path you choose, be it Buddha, Islam, Christianity, it is a direct path, I believe, because all religion grows out of your culture. And I could not know, I could no more ask you to go to Poland to worship there if you were from the continent of Asia or Africa and feel that you would properly be accommodated. You
Absolutely.
Must develop your culture from your religion must be developed and brought out of your culture. And there is so much to say about that, because there's a number of people who are not attached to a land base for their culture, and it happens to be African-American people. We are so disconnected from our culture that we are worshiping everything but our African self. And not understanding
right.
our culture, we have gotten lost. I myself aspire to no denomination, but I aspire to all truths. And I always look for truth in everything, and I find new thought being so closely related to what we're looking for, because it helps me to be who I am as a person who is in a metaphysic state. And I'm hoping that this whole segment will help people to become more metaphysically inclined and embrace the priesthood and the priestesshood and become high priests. And ye are God, little children, ye have overcome them. We are gods, and God has been calling us to wake up. And Teresa, as we talk about waking up in our sleep, every day we're given a jog, hoping that we'll wake up and come out of the slumber. Our whole communities have been mesmerized with being lulled asleep, and we are necessitated, but some of us have awakened, and it's okay for us to say, yes, there's been religions domineering other religions and demonizing them and saying that they're not a religion and making them appear to be nothing other than a cult. I don't concur with that. I don't. And even with the doggone people who are watching every 65,000 years for the Creator to come down and commune with them, as ironic as that might sound, it is a real religion, and they are the ones who discovered the Sirius star B. And
That's
because
right.
of their intellectual ability and unlearnedness, we would think, they are probably one of the closest groups of people to God, because they commune with him. And you will find people that are communing and are close to God, they probably would be dream catchers, and they can interpret dreams because they're so highly connected to their higher self. And because if you go in tune to yourself and meditate on a day-to-day basis, you are going to be in tune with your higher self and with your Creator. And looking at African thoughts, the way that they tell you that this God that was put inside of you is the essence of God, and everyone has that capability of acting out the characteristics of God because we have his essence, and there's but one essence. Am I right, Teresa?
Absolutely. You're right on, spot on. And see, all of this discussion of which religion is better, which one was chosen by God, which one was, quote, invented, unquote, by God is totally irrelevant, because none of that is true. Each one of us is by our very nature connected to God, cannot be separated from God. No one has an edge on it. And when you said earlier in your conversation with this dialogue with this gentleman about, I forget exactly how you put it, about African Americans being disconnected from their culture, you may be disconnected from your culture, but you are never disconnected from God. Impossible.
Absolutely. And, you know, I concur with that, Teresa, because when I said that, I was saying that they didn't have a clue of where their culture stood and what an authentic culture would be.
Right.
No, we
right.
could never be connected from our source, because if we never had a Bible and that biblio book called the Bible, if we never had that guide as a roadmap, we could still have the world come up out of our spirit, because we're living epistles. And because of the fact that we are praise worshipers, we would create that in our slumber. As I talked about, the whole thing to do.
Hello?
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 It seems like she's breaking up.
Yeah, I can hear you. You can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you, but I can't hear her.
No, neither can I. Well, things happen, I guess, right?
I know.
Yeah, well, some technical difficulty, I guess.
I know. Let me ask you something.
Yes, yes.
What do you do when you come to the point when, see, I don't like attributing to the concept of any form of racism or whatnot of that nature, but at the same time, I am a history buff, and I like to study history, right?
Yeah.
So when I study history, I find that angel food cake is white, devil's food cake is chocolate.
Is black.
Chocolate. And the black cat passed by you is bad luck. The
bad
villain
luck.
Usually wear black, and the hero wears white. So I'm saying, in the same context, if it is there, just from your experience and your knowledge, is there a possibility? Is there a possibility that perhaps that one has went to the extreme of demonizing everything about a person's character, religion, and culture, that even to the point that, is it a possibility that Satan, and just generally speaking now, because I came to this consciousness a couple of months ago, I didn't have anybody to build on it, but is it a possibility that the concept of Satan, which is the essence of the concept of Satan is self-worship? Are you all about self? It's not a communal thought. It's a thought of individuality. I wonder, is it a possibility that that's not a bad thought at all?
Well, good thought, bad thought. Do good thoughts and bad thoughts actually exist? Or is it a distinction that we, in a personal judgment, make? So I look at something and I judge it bad.
Mm-hmm.
I look at something else and judge it good. You or someone else may look at the same things and not come to the same conclusion as I. So,
okay, you're right.
Yeah, you know, is there really, objectively speaking, a good and a bad? And you remember there was a comedian, I forget what his name is right now, but he used to always say, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Well, you know, that sounds to me like a good way for me to get off the hook. The devil made me do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, this whole thing about the good witch dresses in white and the bad one dresses in
black.
Personally, what I think is, we made that up. And we made that up out of our own personal fear, our own personal sense of inferiority, perhaps even our own personal fear of believing that we were separate from God.
On the word. Arranged
and
by
you know,
Omeika Vidiaco Garth. While sitting here,
so y'all having some technical difficulties big time, huh?
Yeah, we are, because now I hear another voice coming in.
Of the affirmations that I've heard while reflecting back.
Well, I got to tell you, I've greatly enjoyed your show. I hope you guys get it together, but I'm going
to
still be listening online, though.
Okay, all right. It was great meeting with you.
It was nice meeting with you. Bye-bye.
While meditating on the word. So whenever I'm feeling low, I know just where to go. I go to the word for meditation without a doubt or hesitation. You see, when I meditate, I don't sleep. I dream in order to stay ahead of the games and scheme. I meditate on the word both day and night, for I know that it's not by might, but by his word, which has given me sight. While meditating on the word, I'll whisper words of power that will keep me focused every hour upon hour. I'll meditate on the word, for I know my way to success remains open and clear.
Hello. It seems like we got disconnected there for a while. We still have about 15 more minutes on our show. And if my listening audience is still out there, please do come back and join us. Teresa, if you're able to tune back in, looked like we had a little technical difficulty there. And I'm going to go with the station identification. And if the listening audience is out there, please come back on.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up. while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
And thank you once again for joining us. You have entered into the air with Omiinka 7 and Care to Read. Our new series that we're bringing you is from the Consumer Family Education, dealing with mind, body, and spirit and soul. We started our new segment today on Spiritual Lifeline, dealing with unconsciousness, the subconscious mind, and the spirit and dreams. Our guest host today was Teresa, and Teresa enlightened us with information pertaining to dreams. I want to say to the listening audience that as we talk about synchronicity and whether or not any particular person needed to have a prerequisite background in order to interpret dreams, we came to the conclusion that it was not necessary for anyone to have any pre or prior training in interpreting dreams or having this gift, but other than to practice and exercise this gift. What does that mean, Omiinka 7? Does that mean that we all have the capability of interpreting dreams? Yes, we do. When putting our mind to anything that we can accomplish, but you have to practice and exercise. It's very important that we at all times understand that we are spiritual beings, meaning that we have a multiplicity of essence that was endowed upon us by the Most High. But we have to stay in tune with the Most High and be most able to connect with the Most High, be it through our meditation or our practicing of reading His words or wherever the truth is found. And as Teresa told us today, that this devil that we talked about, we empower it. And that as we empower it, it becomes more real. And the things that we don't empower, they become powerless and don't exist and become an illusion. So listen, audience, from my perspective, as I indicated, we are not going to give place to the stronghold, which is the devil. We will not empower him, so he doesn't exist. So there's no fear, and no fear at all when you have scary dreams that you will wake up in a sweat being fearful that somebody's out to get you, probably the boogeyman or somebody. Get that out of your mind. That is thinking. Get it out of your mind, because we do not have the mind. We have the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ being crystallized in Christ, you know, we do not have the mind of fear. And fear is not something that you want to come upon you. When you are working things out in the supernatural mind, you work things out. Just as you see the people getting saved and getting the spirit in the church, they are working things out, believe it or not, people. They're working out their situation in their homes. And they're walking out their salvation. So don't think that it's strange that when they come up out of that slumber of getting happy or getting saved, that they don't have a solution to their problem. 9 times out of 10, this is where we do the bulk of our work in the supernatural spirit, where we begin to work with spirit and be spiritual workers. Now, for the listening audience, let me also say for the record that I am spiritual, and I proclaim to be spiritual, and that I am one. The question is to be or not to be African and to be spiritual. And to be connected to spirit means that I can find my path and my direction and my purpose. It doesn't matter which denomination I serve to aspire to, because religion, the term means to tie to. I'm talking here about spirit people. And I'm talking about dreams, synchronicity. I'm also speaking of being able to be clairvoyant. What does it mean? In the ancient days, when Jesus was in the process of learning how to heal, it is my belief that he had to be taught. He did not have this information readily. When they asked where he was, he said, "Didn't you know I was about my Father's business?" Meaning in places where he could be trained. He had to be trained to become a metaphysicist. And he had to train in the ancient areas such as Egypt. He had to be trained in schools of thoughts, just as Moses was. And he had to gain so many degrees of knowledge. And as he learned the supernatural gifts for healing, he said the greater things that we will do. Greater things that we will do. And if Peter was healing with his shadow and had the ability to speak the word, and if the centurion told Jesus, "All you need to do is just speak the word. Master, your words are so powerful. I believe that if you send your word, that the word would heal his daughter." And we are also told that greater things that we will do, so we have to make our words powerful. We have to find powerful words and understand that we are to do those greater things as well. But we must be trained. We must harness training and develop our training and our ability to become more metaphysicists. Priests and priestesses are in the market for training in this area. And at one time, the Catholic could not interpret anything of the Bible. They went to their priest to get an understanding of interpretation. But I have been taught that the veil was torn so that we can go boldly now on our own behalf, because we are all of God, little children, and we've overcome them. So therefore, we can go boldly and to petition on our own behalf. So what are you saying, Omi Inker, about mind, body, and spirit on this segment? What is it that you'd like for us to know? I'd like for you to know that abundance comes with knowing thyself, knowing what your capabilities are, what your purposes are, what you're able to accomplish within the frame of spirit world. You're able to accomplish all things in the spirit world. You're able to master all things in the spirit world, but you have to learn to meditate day and night. Should we use guided meditation, Omi Inker, or should we use transcendental meditation? That is for you to decide. I will offer a disclaimer here today that I do not specify and direct you to any one particular method of meditating. You must determine that for yourself. Just as our listener talked about empowering energies, you are nothing more than a frequency and an energy. Energy cannot be disposed of, nor can energy die. It only dissipates. You are frequency. Frequency levels are calibrated on a high and low basis. I hope I'm getting through on the airwaves today. I hope I'm sending a frequency on the airwaves today that it will jog your memory to remember who you are and what your purpose was for coming here. And as that frequency go on the airwaves, I'm calling out to those who are low of spirit that you can have abundance today. You can be centered in your life today. You can find your way by knowing yourself and knowing who you are. In being a recipient and an heir of Jesus and an heir of the Most High, there's some attributes to be had. There's some gifts. There's some benefits. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. We are, in other words, aliens from other continents and planets. Being here means that we are held captive in this body, but we are pure spirit. And being pure spirit means that it's important for you every day to exercise the ability to connect with spirit in God's attribute. On that note, I take a station identification break in God's attribute.
Fitment. arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. Commitment is when you've given your word, and your word can stand alone and on its own. It's making an effort when you really don't have the time. It's making ends meet when they really weren't intended to reach. If giving your moral support and backing somehow leaves you feeling lacking because someone failed to give you the backing and you've gone without, then you should know what I'm talking about. Commitment, it's your badge. You should wear it with honor and pride. It's like having good character and integrity. It's not something that you want to hide. Commitment is paying someone else's daily dues, even if at times you find yourself being used. It's your fingerprints. It's your marking of a real, genuine gent. It's your label that makes you feel able, that leaves you feeling stable, that gives you a clear conscience and a good frame of mind, even when you don't feel able. Somehow, you must gather the strength to become stable. When you've completed a task, you don't want someone to stop and ask, hey man, have you completed that task? When you've given your commitment in the past.
Commitment is very important, people, but having the mind of Christ is far more important. Get understanding, and in all you're getting, get the mind of Christ. Because let this mind of Christ be within you that was also in the Netra too.
Mind of Peace, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. You have the mind of peace that just won't cease. Keep your mind stayed on Him and your peace. It will continue to increase. Create the mind of peace within you, which was also in the Creator too. Now you know just what to do. Be strong in the power of His might, and don't give up this fight. Walk in the Spirit and not in sight. At times, it will look like the enemy is winning, you'll think. And just when you're at the end of your brink, He'll throw you a lifeline so you won't sink. When you send out the SOS sign, then you would have already completed the test. You have the mind of peace that just won't cease. Keep your mind stayed on Him, and your peace will continue to increase. Now remember that you are no longer held at ransom, because the debt was paid with quite a handsome price for your peace that will continue to increase. With a mind stayed on Him, your peace will continue to increase.
We'd like to thank you for staying with us on this segment of Care to Read. And do join us on our continuing segments as we go through the series of Spiritual Lifeline. We'll be covering mind, body, and spirit. And we'll ask you to meditate on the Word day and night without ceasing.
Meditate on the Word, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. While sitting here in the night, waiting for daylight,
thank you for listening, people.
I stop and meditate on the words of the affirmations that I've heard. While reflecting back on the words, I can recall you are the head and not the tail. You are to succeed and not to fail. These are the promises that are needed, which are to be heeded while meditating on the word. So whenever I'm feeling low, I know just where to go. I go to the Word for meditation without a doubt or hesitation. You see, when I meditate, I don't sleep. I dream in order to stay ahead of the games and scheme. I meditate on the Word both day and night, for I know that it's not by might, but by His Word, which has given me sight. While meditating on the Word, I'll whisper words of power that will keep me focus every hour upon hour. I'll meditate on the Word, for I know my way to success remains open and clear.
On our way, And do join us in our next segment of Care to Read as we venture off into our new segment of Mind, Body, and Spirit and travel with us on this journey. Thank you.
All right, everyone.